guys. Welcome to Southwest Ohio Full Court Press. This is your host, Tony Peters. Thank you for tuning in to another interview today. This is going to be a little bit of a different one. Obviously, we've had Lane Sarver from Tri-Village and Jacob Plyman from Botkins, two player interviews. Today's going to be a little bit different. We've got a coach of all trades, as I'm going to call it. We've got Joey Gurdon joining us on the podcast today. Joey is the current coach of the Red Scare that plays on the TBT, as well as Flight Prep and Dayton Elite's 16U head coach. We're going to talk to Joey about those teams, as well as his playing days at the University of Dayton, as well as his 2 years as a grad assistant at Louisville under Chris Mack. Great interview. Joey's a great guy. Definitely enjoyed talking basketball with him and just kind of learning more about his coaching philosophies and his upbringing that brought him to where he is today in the college basketball and in high school basketball realms. So go ahead and sit back, relax, take a listen. We'll be right back after this brief message. All right, guys. As I said, we now have a coach of many, many teams here. We've got Joey Gurdon joining us on the podcast. Joey, how's it going?
It's going good. Thanks for having me on the show.
Not a problem. Glad to have you for sure. Like I said, you have a lot of talents here in the Dayton area. You know, you coach a lot of different teams. We'll address almost all of them here on this episode. But obviously, before we talk about any of your coaching that you have, I want to go to the very beginning and what a lot of people in the area probably know you best for was your time at UD as a basketball player. So let's just start with that. Talk a little bit about your 4 years at UD, highs and lows, you know, just anything you want to talk about just with your time at the University of Dayton.
Yeah, I mean, UD was obviously great to me. Loved it so much. I stayed around afterwards. Great community. Fell in love with basketball. Fell in love with coaching there. Tried out my first year to play basketball. Coming to UD, I wanted to actually play football at first. That's what I was recruited for. Got on campus, realized it was a super passionate basketball fan base, and I realized that's where my heart was anyway, so it kind of worked out. So I ended up trying out for the team, got cut my first year, looked myself in the mirror, tried a little harder, worked out for a year, tried out again my sophomore year, made the team, ended up playing for 4 years, made the tournament 3 years in a row with Coach Miller. It was an unbelievable experience going to the NCAA tournament, just seeing it from my perspective. Not on the court as much, but always knowing I wanted to coach, so I got to soak in all of Coach Miller's philosophies and seeing what he likes to do and how he does things. And then my final year, you know, I wanted to play all 4 years. So I stuck it out one more year, did a fifth year, and Coach Grant came in. So I got to see a transition period under a new coach, which was a great experience too. And we all know the history. He's already created for himself at UD, becoming a coach of the year and turning its UD into a number one ranked team. So I got to learn under two fantastic coaches, great experience, no lows, all highs. It was a great time.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, and I mean, yeah, it's, you can definitely say with between Coach Miller and Coach Grant, I mean, those two had such great careers for the Flyers, and obviously Grant still has hopefully many more years to come, but the fact that you're able to really work with both of them is definitely incredible. What are some of the differences? Because like you said, the first 3 years were with Coach Miller. Kind of what were some of the different differences between the two or philosophies that you noticed, you know, or should I say, what were the different kind of styles of play or just in general, what were some of the differences that you learned with obviously having two different coaches?
Yeah, that's a question people ask all the time. It's Coach Miller was, I would say, a little more old school, likes to get in your face, yell, his way or the highway, get on our guys. You know, he had a strict way he liked things to be done, where Coach Grant came in and he got to know each player individually a little bit more, you know, could relate to us. You could tell he was an NBA guy, just the way he communicated with the players and the way practices were ran. It was a totally different vibe when Coach Grant came in. I'm not saying Coach Miller is bad, but it was different, just his style of coaching, the way he communicates, obviously, and things of that nature. And I only did have him for 1 year, so it's hard to say too much. And it was a transition year for him. But he was awesome. Coach Miller was awesome. Two great coaches, just very different. I would say the biggest difference was just the way they communicated and got their points across, but great coaches overall.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned, obviously, with Coach Miller, you were on a Flyer team that made the NCAA tournament, or a couple that made the tournament. There's not a lot of people that get the opportunity to be on a Division I basketball team, let alone play or be on a team that makes the NCAA tournament. What was it kind of like being on? I mean, that's the biggest stage you can get on, especially come March.
Yeah, it was it's something you always watch as a kid and dream of doing. And the first time it was actually running out on the court for a March Madness game was super surreal. Even knowing I wasn't going to play, I mean, just running out of lamp lines, I was butterflies through the roof, probably the most nervous I've ever been. It was just a totally different vibe and feel. The atmosphere is unbelievable. The whole world's watching. Everyone knows it. Just an unbelievable feeling. And to be able to make it 3 years in a row is super hard to do for any program or any team. And I was just super fortunate to be able to do that and even win a couple games in the tournament. So it was awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Another thing I want to talk to you about, Joey, obviously, I think that a lot of people that do listen to this podcast are, juniors and seniors in high school. And I think there's at times a negative persona that, kids don't want to necessarily, they feel that being a walk-on almost is like a downgrade. When in reality, I mean, as we're going to talk about here a little later on in this interview, I mean, your experience as a walk-on at UD has opened the doors for you to do all these different coaching opportunities. What would you say to a high school senior that, maybe they're on the fence of they could walk on a Division I school or they could play at, let's say, a D2 or NAIA? What would you tell them to kind of, set the stage that, hey, being a walk-on is not a negative thing at all, and in fact, it can open doors as it has for you?
Right. I do think the walk-on does have a negative persona for no reason. Obviously, you don't get the glory as much as the, the scholarship players. But I mean, essentially I literally did everything that Jalen Crutcher and Obi Toppin did. I was in the weight room with them. I was doing conditioning, study halls, academic advisors, all the gear, all the travel, traveling charter, getting fed like a king. I mean, you get the great, high level D1 experience, even though you're not on a full ride scholarship. And obviously my future, I knew I wanted to get into coaching. So I figured, being a walk on at a high level program would be a great opportunity for me personally. And there are walk ons out there. It happens all the time. I mean, you think about the guy before me, Bobby Worley. Mm-hmm. If you work hard and practice every day, and the ball bounces your way and you just fight with it and stay with it, I mean, there are plenty of chances for you to get on the court as well. I mean, I got in a few games in the first half with Coach Grant, just because he saw how hard I worked. You obviously can play. There's potential for that. And then just obviously the learning and all the other perks you get as a Division I player, it's unbelievable. Great experience.
Yeah, and obviously you and I mean, you talked about the weight room and study hall. You're also competing in practice as well, correct?
Oh, yeah. Running up and down 2 hours a day. There's only 11, 12 guys, so obviously I got to play 5-on-5 mm-hmm. damn near the whole time and getting all the reps individually too. So it was awesome.
Yeah, so, you're getting to compete. I can't even go through all the players that have gone through that program since 2014, 2015 when you got there. But there's been a lot of great players we've gone through UD that, you're going to battle with them every day in practice. So like you are getting that work. So, I definitely love that, getting that your perspective on it, because I would say you kind of mentioned Bobby Worley. Between Bobby Worley and you, I think you two are definitely two of the most well-known walk-ons through the Flyer program, at least in the last 15 years, in my opinion. So, being able to kind of see, hey, it's, being a walk-on is not this negative thing. It's, you're going to get the work and it's going to make you a better person and a better player in the long run. So appreciate you sharing a little bit of insight on that for sure.
For sure.
So obviously after you were done at UD, you spent 2 years as a grad assistant in Louisville. biggest thing I'd like to know there is obviously, you know, with Dayton, that's an A-10 mid-major school. Now you're going to Louisville that's got a very storied career with their basketball program. Obviously, Rick Pitino put that program, helped make that program very relevant. And you're obviously going to the ACC, which is high major basketball, where you got Duke and UNC. What are some of the biggest differences you noticed right away just with, you know, coaching in the ACC from being part of an Atlantic 10 team?
Yeah, I think the biggest differences are just the level of recruits ACC school gets. You know, you get freshmen coming in who are damn near ready to go to the NBA because of the one and done rule. Mm-hmm. So you get some big time recruits. You know, they get all the power top 50 guys. It's a little harder for Dayton to get those guys, but Coach Grant's getting those guys now. So I can't even say that anymore. But you know, and then the other difference is just the ACC schedule is just so brutal. You know, Dayton, you might have a home game against LaSalle or a Fordham who, you know, isn't the strongest of opponents. But then in the ACC, you know, you're playing the bottom half of the ACC and you're still playing Notre Dame or North Carolina on their down year. And just teams like that, Miami, and it's like these schools are all big-time schools with big-time recruits. So each game is just a battle, and it's a grueling season and a grind that you have to really cherish, and you respect how hard it is to win, which I learned a lot at my time at Louisville.
Yeah, and that's – I mean, that's – being able to coach in that conference is incredible. That's – between them and the Big Ten, that's probably the top two conferences in terms of college basketball year in and year out. So, you know, you're going to get the great players, but then you've also got, you're going up against coaching against guys like Mike Krzyzewski, Roy Williams, Mike Bray's been at Notre Dame for the longest time, Jim Boeheim now at Syracuse. I mean, you're going up against some legendary coaches as well. So, you know, what was it like being on the opposite side of the bench with a guy like Coach K or Coach Williams, knowing that, you know, I'm sure Coach Williams, the Tar Heels had some good teams when you were there, just knowing you're competing against legends in the game.
Yeah, unbelievable. Going through the handshake line at the end of the game was pretty cool, shaking all these big time coaches' hands. And I mean, the coaches' pedigree obviously is amazing in ACC, so just being able to scout them and help our coaches scout and get ready for the game was a surreal experience. As well as the coaches, like you said, even like the players, I got to scout Zion Williamson, RJ Barrett on the same team, you know, some big time guys like that. Super unbelievable experience, just watching these guys on the court right from my eyes and even beating some of these teams and some of these legendary coaches going into Duke, Cameron Stadium, just the coolest stadium I ever played in my life. And going in there and winning a game was probably the coolest thing that happened to me at Louisville. Going to North Carolina, beating them by 15 points was unbelievable. Seeing Michael Jordan's name hanging up in the rafters. So just that experience of traveling around to these legendary programs and schools was unbelievable.
Absolutely. And, you know, we talk about obviously some of the best coaches in the ACC. You can't overlook the guy you were reporting to, which was Chris Mack. Obviously Coach Mack had a fantastic career at Xavier, which has obviously gotten him where he is at Louisville. And he's done quite well for himself at Louisville. What are some things that you have learned from Coach Mack that you try to incorporate now with either like Red Scare or Dayton Elite, as we'll talk about, but what are some things that he's kind of ingrained in your mind that's helped like with your coaching philosophy nowadays?
Yeah, I think just the attention to detail that he'd had was unbelievable. Just going through, you know, simple drills in practice. I think a lot of players and coaches take the small things for granted. For example, pivoting. We worked on pivoting every day. A lot of kids now are traveling or dragging their feet, and people mm-hmm. don't realize the small things do matter. And I think he opened my eyes to that. Whether doing 5-on-0, just passing around the horn, just every pass had to be perfect and crisp. There's no lollygagging or bounce passes or jogging half speed. So everything he did was just attention to detail, realizing that the small thing like pivoting can cost you a win or a loss in the ACC. So just learning that from him was unbelievable. I try to be a sponge and pick up as many different things from him as I could, saving all his practice plans and just seeing his philosophy right in front of my face. It was awesome. Great experience, and he's definitely a rising coach in the game.
Yeah, there's not a lot of people that can talk about the resume you've had in terms of, you know, you're playing for guys like Coach Miller and Coach Grant, and then you get to work with a guy like Coach Mack. I mean, that's three huge names in the college basketball world. So a lot of people would definitely say you're definitely lucky to be able to learn from so many great people. So obviously you've been able to use a lot of that with your some of these different teams you're coaching. We'll start with the TBT. I know what TBT is, but I'm sure there's people that are listening to this podcast that are probably wondering what is TBT. Talk a little bit about what TBT is and kind of how you got involved with that.
Yeah, TBT it's a really big growing tournament. It happens every summer. It's full of overseas guys, professional guys. There's a lot of alumni teams applying now, so digging at the team, that's who I coach. But it's turned into a 64 team tournament. Anyone can apply, any school. You just got to get a team together. You apply, and then all these teams travel around. There's eight different regions, and then you compete. You got to win whatever it is, a minute amount of games. I think it's six to get to the finals, and you win $1 million prize. So it's turned into a big tournament. Joe Johnson played it last year. A lot of big-time NBA guys who are coming back or either retired or trying to come back playing it. Overseas guys. So it's a pretty big tournament. And then I coach the alumni team at Dayton. We're called the Red Scare. But there's a lot of other alumni teams. I know Louisville's applying for this year. Xavier's applying. Ohio State's a big one. Marquette won it all last year. So there's a lot of alumni teams, and there's a lot of just freelance teams who get a bunch of guys together and play for a cause or just whatever, just trying to play and compete.
Yeah, it's definitely grown. I remember last year was the first year I really kind of watched more than just a game, and you know, you watch it and it becomes, you know, it's like you said, it's growing and it's definitely gotten quite big up to this point. I mean, you obviously, like you said, you're with the Red Scare. Again, I think there's quite a few people that probably could guess some of the guys you have that with being an alumni team. But for those who maybe don't know, talk a little bit about some of the players that you guys have for this year's team and kind of how you were able to determine who you're going to select for that team.
Yeah, so some of the big names that most Dayton fans would recognize are guys like Kyle Davis, who was on my team, Kendall Pollard, Devin Oliver, a big name who made the Elite Eight. With those other two guys, actually. Mm-hmm. And then we got, we always have a couple guys who aren't from Dayton. This year we got Trevor Thompson, plays his last year. He's from Ohio State. He's a big 7-foot guy. Not a lot of those come out of Dayton, so I had to get a big guy like him. who else do I have this season? Oh, Daryl Davis, played with him for 4 years. Trying to think who else off the top of my head. Yeah, that's some of the names people would recognize right now. And then we'll add a couple more here to come as the tournament gets a little closer. We hear back some guys from their agents and whatnot. But yeah, we got a good little team forming together. Hopefully we can make it back to UD. They are having the finals the last three or four games, the Elite Eight or whatever you want to call it, here at UD. So if we can get out of our first region, which is in Columbus, and get back to UD, we might be able to make some noise and win this tournament.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure that's going to be a lot of emotions with the Red Scare, all you guys, you know, obviously playing so long and playing for 4 years most of you guys playing for 4 years at the campus to return there to try to, you know, win that tournament and then also to win $1 million. That's got to be big. I got to ask you, what are the chances you get Chris Wright and Brian Roberts back together?
I've ever since Chris hired me, man, I've been asking him every single day. I'm coming to work for him. I don't know if he's going to do it. I'm still trying. Maybe he'll give me a last minute yes. Trying to get B-Rod too, but he's getting a little older. He's got a family. He's got a lot going on in his summertime, so it's hard to get some of these older vets who, you know, really don't need to play if they got a lot to lose or family time they need to spend. So, I mean, I understand people's schedules, but I'm still trying to get these guys every single day. Don't you worry.
I'm sure you are. Yeah, we'll talk a little bit more about Chris specifically when we get to flight prep here shortly. But, you know, obviously, you know, I'm sure when a lot of people think of the Flyers and with this being an alumni team, I'm sure a lot of people think of Chris and Brian just because of the careers they had with Dayton as well. This is obviously, like you're saying, this isn't your first year doing this. So last year, you guys did compete in the tournament, and obviously last year was a little bit different with it being COVID And again, for any people that maybe don't understand or know, follow it as much, you guys were in a bubble situation last year. Let's talk about kind of, I actually talked to you specifically about this. I think it was a couple of weeks ago because I was curious. But for all of our listeners, talk about life in the bubble and just kind of the protocols and what a day-to-day looked like when you weren't playing basketball games while you were in the bubble.
Yeah, so a lot of people don't realize, but TBT was the first live sporting event right out of COVID. It was before the NBA bubble, before any other professional league came back. So they kind of almost set the standard or the bar of how to run sports during a pandemic. They ran it extremely well. Leading up to the tournament, we were taking at-home tests sent to us through a company where we were spitting in a tube and sending it out in the mail. Me and all of our team had to do it about three times leading up to the tournament. Then we all had a report, check in about 4 days early before we played. Took another COVID test, had a quarantine for an entire day in each of our individual hotel rooms to make sure no one was positive. So honestly, the scariest part of this year's tournament was just trying not to get anyone test positive. I mean, one positive test on your team and you're sent home. Mm-hmm. They did send a couple teams home from the bubble who did test positive. But it was a bubble. It was in Columbus. I had family there trying to drive up and see me. They wouldn't let them in. They were handing me food through security. It was pretty intense. We were locked in there together, but it honestly helped us out because they had three courts built in the lobby. So we got the practice leading up to it, which is awesome. We all get to be together. It kind of felt like we were back at UD on a road trip or a tournament run, you know, being locked in together, just watching film and hanging out and playing basketball. So it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of work, but it was also a lot of fun once we got there.
Yeah, and obviously the success that you guys had too, I'm sure, added to that fun. You guys did get the 8 seed, but last year beating Big X 77-68. Do you know what alumni team were they with? Do you know?
They were a Big Ten alumni team, so they had a few teams from the Big Ten and all formed one team. They had like Nick Ward from Michigan State, a few Ohio State guys, and a few other additions, but they were mostly a Big Ten team.
Big Ten. Okay, gotcha. Okay, so that was your first win, and then you guys, you were hopefully going to get a matchup with Carmen's crew, which would have been Ohio State's team. They were the number one seed. They got upset by House of Pain, which was Illinois' alumni team, which you guys defeated in the quarterfinals 83-76. Ultimately falling in the semifinals, you kind of preluded this already, the Golden Eagles, which was Marquette's team, 79-70. Watching you guys on TV when I did, I mean, you could tell, you know, guys were enjoying it. And obviously it was nice. I believe Mike Sell and Ryan Mike Sell and Trey Landers were on that team last year, if I remember correctly. So, you know, obviously with them being some of the newer graduates, it was nice to see them continuing to play. Just kind of talk a little bit about, obviously, that I more specifically want to know about the Golden Eagles team. I mean, that team was good. You watched that team play last year and they were good. Talk about them a little bit and what made them as good as they were.
Yeah, before I do, I forgot about Trey and Mike Sell. They're playing this year too. Okay, but I forgot them. Yeah, they're two big pieces we got last year. But yeah, the Golden Eagles team was unbelievable. I remember trying to scout them the day before because you only had a day turnaround and cutting up film. And, you know, two of their players they had a ton of NBA film. Like, geez, these starting for the Clippers. Jamil Wilson was starting for the Clippers at one point in his career, getting buckets in the NBA. And now I'm trying to scout him and how am I going to guard him? It was pretty surreal just being such a young and fresh coming up coach. It was a great experience scouting these guys. And they had a bunch of other guys. Dwight Bikes played in the NBA. Obviously John Diebler was a, I mean, not John Diebler, crap, what's his name? White shooter from Marquette who hit the game winner.
Sam Hauser?
Say it again?
Was it Sam Hauser?
No, it was, he's older. He's almost like 40, but he's a Marquette legend. But he kind of was like a player coach, but he went in against us and he played great. He had a couple of big threes. Then he had the Elon Mending game winner in the finals.
Okay.
But they had a ton of talent across the board. I think they just had a little bit more depth than us this year. I'm hoping to he had a true point guard. We didn't have a true point guard last year. I think it definitely hurt us, their pressure and whatnot. But they were a good team, obviously. And then leading up to that, too, playing House of Pain from Illinois, they had Mike Dom, who was like second all-time leading scorer in NCAA history.
Yep.
Absolute monster. So we played a ton of good players. Got to scout a ton of good players, and it's really hard to win in that tournament. We got lucky, played hard, ended up winning a couple games, and we're right there to win to go to the finals too.
Yeah, and I had one of my next questions was going to be expectations, but obviously, I mean, I think it's not rocket science. Your goal is obviously to win this tournament, beyond just for the bragging rights before the $1 million prize, but. I am curious about the prep that you guys do leading up to it in terms of practices and whatnot, because this isn't like a typical AAU or high school team. I mean, this is, you know, you're really playing for about a 2-week period when this event's going on. Talk a little bit about the prep that goes into it and then when you'll start working, kind of practicing, getting ready for this event.
Yeah, for me personally, I'm the GM and the head coach. I got help from my guy, Jeremiah Basu, who runs it with me.
Yeah.
But leading up to it, just right now, is a lot of paperwork and get guys signed up and registered and planning. But this year, I think we are officially going to have a week-long training camp held at UD. They're being generous enough to host us this year since, you know, the finals is here. So they're going to put us up in the dorms. So we're going to do a week-long, about 5-day mini camp, I like to call it. We're going to go 2 days, try to put some stuff in and practice for a week. Just try to be as organized as possible because each year this tournament really does grow and expand. And some teams are having 3-week camps and month-long camps. And it's getting harder and harder to win each year. And people want it more and more. And there's overseas coaches coaching now and NBA players coming back like Joe Johnson. So the competition level and the coaching level is increasing each year. And, if you want to win this tournament, you definitely got to be prepared and practice. You can't just roll the ball out and play.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just trying to put our team in the best situation as possible this year.
Man, 2-a-days, you're making me think back to high school days with that.
Yeah, we're not going to be running suicides like I bet you were. So.
No, I would hope not. Yeah, that was back when I was in 16, 17. You guys were obviously not going to be 16 to 17 years old, so don't recommend that by any means. But no, that's good stuff for sure. And at the end of the interview, I'll have you kind of share any information in terms of where people can get tickets, because I'm sure there's going to be someone listening to this episode that's going to have, you know, be interested in kind of checking us out for themselves. You know, I plan on attending in person for this year to kind of check it out as well. So we'll get to that near the end of the interview. But we're going to take a short break real quick. And when we come back, we'll go ahead and we'll finish up the interview here with Joey. We'll talk about kind of flight prep. We kind of preluded to it with Chris Wright, the project he's working on with Chris with that, as well as the current team Joey is coaching with Dayton Elite, their 16U. So we'll come back to that here after this break. All right, guys, welcome back. Again, we have Joey Gruden with us. We kind of talked about his time with the UD Flyers and with the Louisville Cardinals, as well as him being the head coach and GM of the Red Scare on the TBT. I want to transition now into one of Joey's upcoming, we'll call it projects. He'll be the head coach, or he was named the head coach of Flight Prep. Joey, obviously, I know about Flight Prep, but again, our listeners may not know. Talk about Flight Prep, kind of, it just was, I don't want to say released, but we just kind of learned about them about a month or two ago, and talk about just kind of how you got connected with Chris Wright and were selected to be the head coach of this team.
Yeah, so Flight Academy is an entire organization who does a lot more than just basketball and prep. Chris has been doing it for years. He's done a great job with the community and giving back and trying to help out the youth. And this year he finally started a plan he's been having for the past couple of years, but due to COVID, it's kind of delayed his plans, but he's starting a post-grad basketball team through Flight Academy Prep, where he's given, you know, guys who graduated high school. So we all are graduating high school. We're not stealing any players from any high schools or anything like that. So they're all graduated high school, and a lot of the guys just need probably one more year to either whatever it is they need to get better at. If it's, they need to get bigger, faster, or stronger, if they need another year of exposure due to COVID, a lot of these kids need to get, you know, the full AAU season their junior year because of COVID. So a lot of them are just underseen and I think undervalued who have the potential to play at a Division One or a Division Two school. But they just need that extra year of exposure and travel around and play some high-level teams to get their film out there that they just didn't have the chance to do. So, yeah, Chris brought me on. I used to reach out to him by the Red Scare. I think that's kind of how we got connected. And, you know, and he thought I'd be a good fit for the team and the program, just being from Dayton and us being two UD guys. And we thought we'd get the community to rally behind us and support us, which they have already. So we're super excited to get going. We start September playing games, you know, traveling around playing JUCOs and Division Twos and Division Threes, other post-grad teams. So we're going to give these guys a full schedule and treat them like high-level players, and hopefully they get to that next level when they're done with us after this year.
Absolutely, and you guys have got some really good talent, a lot of local kids. I think almost your entire roster, minus maybe one, played on the high school level in this area last year. Talk about some of the guys you guys have on the team.
Yeah, we have 9 official guys as of now. We're going to try to add a couple more. But we do have some of the top talent in the area for sure. We definitely want to keep it local, at least for the first year. We think Dayton has, you know, some of the top talent in the nation. I grew up in Orlando, Florida, just being around that. So I've been around a few different states growing up, and I think Dayton is a strongly talented basketball community. So we really don't have to look too far outside of, you know, city of Dayton. But we got guys like Tyler Montigi from Butler. We got Alan Lattimore and Albakai Kaderi from West Carrollton. Pat Ivory from Northmont. Who else off the top of my head? AJ Eller from Brookville. We got a ton of talented kids. We got Talis Landers, who's actually Trey's brother, who's been out of school for a year. He went to Wayne. Just a bunch of guys like that who have potential to play at the next level, just need another year. A couple more will be announced soon. Will Hill from Meadowdale. You know, we just have a ton of talent in this area. And I'm excited that a roster that we have, and I think we'll be able to compete with a lot of high level programs.
Yeah, I remember when Chris first kind of told me after he had announced he was the coach about flight prep. I remember one of the first things I told him was how great it is for, you know, a kid like AJ Eller from Brookville, who you're playing the teams he's playing against. That's not giving a college coach the best evaluation of his talent. And now you put him on a team with a lot of great athletes and a lot of great basketball players like Montague, like Lattimore, like Kadari. And all of a sudden you can see, oh, wow, this guy can play with scholarship athletes. And then you got players, obviously, like Will Hill, you know, missed his junior year entirely due to a knee injury. College coaches maybe didn't know that much about him senior year, or they weren't really sure where that knee was going to be like. And now in Lattimore, obviously, with the issues with the whole transfer with the OHSAA, which we won't dwell on that, but, you know, a lot of guys that like you said, need that year, need that extra step. And I'm definitely looking forward to covering you guys and kind of seeing what you can do, because, again, you do have a lot of great talent, and I'm optimistic to hear the other names you'll get, and I'm sure you guys are going to do great. I would like to hear your elevator pitch, though, for any 2022s, maybe next year, that they're going to be looking for a prep school to possibly play for. You know, obviously in Ohio, you got Spire up in Cleveland. You got ISA out of Cleveland as well. Those guys more known for like their high school teams more than their post grads, but nonetheless, two very well-known programs. Down here in Cincinnati, you got Don Prep and you got Keba as well. You know, I want to hear your elevator pitch. Why should a prospect consider flight prep?
I mean, after doing research of these other programs, Flight Prep really has all the resources you would ever want and need. We have every resources that I guarantee colleges don't even have. We got the facility. We got a brand new facility being built. You got an NBA guy like Chris Wright. You got even me coaching. You got food. You got meals. You got housing. I mean, you really get the full setup and the full every resource that me and Chris have, and Flight Academy has. We're going to pour into these kids, and just we want every kid to play at the next level. That's our main goal. It's really not about us. It's about the guys, the players, and just getting that exposure and just seeing our facilities and our setup. It's really high level, and it'd be a great experience for any kid looking to take that next step who just needs that extra year or, you know, thinks they can out achieve what they have. Some kids on our team even had D3, D2 offers, but they think they can just play even higher level. And it doesn't waste their eligibility. So, I mean, there's nothing we don't have and nothing that we're not willing to go get for these guys.
Yeah, and something else I know you and Chris are big on too, the academic side too. I mean, obviously basketball is what you want to get with these guys, but obviously you got to have the grades to do it. So I know you and Chris are big on, you know, obviously giving the academic help as well to help. I don't think any of your guys are necessarily in that boat where the academics are the issue. Obviously, some prospects choose to go that prep route just to give them that year to get the grades up. But, you know, Chris and you are big on, obviously, the academic side of the game as well. So I know you guys are giving them really good help for, you know, obviously when they get to that collegiate level, you're going to have to be a student athlete first. Obviously, student comes first. So, you know, obviously, right. you guys put a lot into these kids, and you know, you don't have to sell me on it. I'm already sold on it for sure. But but obviously any 2022s, you know, if Joey Gruden comes calling you next year, definitely strongly consider flight prep.
Yeah, for sure. Academics is important, partner with St. Clair, obviously. So I mean, if you want to be prepped for playing in college, I mean, there's no better prep than Flight Academy prep. That has a nice ring to it.
I like that.
Write that down.
Yeah, write that down, trademark that, and you get that locked in. So obviously, the last kind of coaching thing I want to talk with you about is the team you're coaching right now on the AAU circuit, which is Dayton Elite, their 16U team. Before we even talk about just kind of the team as a whole, I want to talk about how you got connected with Will Holman, who is the director of the program. How did you meet him, and how did you ultimately get linked up being the coach for that 16U team?
Yeah, so when I first got back to the Dayton area, I just put out a little ad that I was going to be training some kids in the area where to get better, work on their game. Will is just super dedicated to getting basketball, and he reached out to me. I just started training him and building that relationship with him, and I was just super impressed with the way he handled himself and carried himself and how mature he was for his age. And I mentioned to him that I was thinking about starting an AAU program. If you knew any kids, let me know. And then he kind of just took it from there and said, you know, actually, I have an AAU program, Dayton Elite. I started it a couple years ago. If you want to just coach me, I'll do all the dirty work. You just got to coach. And I was like, wow, that's perfect. That's exactly what I want to do. So he's our director. And he, as you know, he does a lot of the work that I wouldn't want to do, you know, dealing with parents and collect fees and signing us up for tournaments and finding us hotels and getting us jerseys and all that good stuff. Whereas I could just go out and coach and do what I love. So it kind of was a win-win situation for both of us. And he's been a great in the AAU community this year and helped me out and teach me some things as well as me teaching him some things. So it's been awesome.
Yeah, one thing I will never have anything negative to say about Will, and you really hit the nail on the head with that, the work ethic he's got, and you know, the fact that he is running an AAU team that 3 years old, that he started in high school, and the success that they've had, and as we're going to talk about here in just a second, especially at the 16U level, it's definitely incredible. And you know, I'm definitely glad that you guys were able to connect, because you've got yourself a very good team. I don't have your record in terms of outside of prep hoop circuit events, but just in the prep hoop circuit, you're 7-1. You've played in the Havoc in the Heartland, which went 4-0. Three of your wins were by 25 or more points. You beat Indiana Game, who's a very solid program out of Indiana. This past weekend, went 3-1 in the Grit Region Memorial Tournament. Your only loss coming, obviously, to a very good Griffin Elite team out of Kentucky. But you did beat Emerge Elite, which is a local team, as well as the Indiana Nets basketball program, which I don't think Sam Walker played in that game because I don't think he was there this weekend. But he's a West Carrollton kid that's on that team. But they obviously had a guy in Miles Galvin, who he's one of the better players in Indiana in that 23 class. And I watched him play quite well against Mac Irvin Fire back in Havoc in the Heartland. But nonetheless, You guys have beaten some very good teams. And one of the things that I want to talk about with your team, I've watched you guys a handful of times, is you've got those guys bought in on their roles. You know, you watch Dayton Elite 16U play. I don't see any attitudes. I don't see any back talk. I just see five guys that play together regardless of who you got on the floor. How did you get them to buy into the different roles? And talk a little bit also just about, you know, the kids as a whole, because you do have, you know, not just good basketball players, but good people on your team as well.
Yeah, that's, you hit it right in the head. I was lucky enough to inherit a really good group of kids. Every one of them from top to bottom are just super nice kids who I would personally hang out with outside of basketball. They all just love the game. They love to learn, and more importantly, they like to win. I think that's the biggest thing with this group is they love to play. I know a lot of kids nowadays in AU, it's all about how many points can I get, how many steals can I get. But the biggest thing I've been telling these guys every single day and before every tournament is that if you want the exposure that AU brings, you got to win games. I mean, the coaches aren't going to recruit the teams that lose. I mean, they'd rather have a kid average 12 points a game and win 95% of the time than bring a kid on who scores 30 points a game and, you know, loses every single game. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the message I've tried to get across to these guys. And it really has shown. I mean, from top to bottom, I think each kid's, I don't know averages, but I would say each kid's averaging from 10 to 15 points a game, and it's pretty spread out equally. Like you said, we share the ball, we play the right way, and I think coaches will see that, and they'll benefit them in the long run. We don't play selfish. That my biggest message every day is just, if you guys want exposure, you got to win games. I think they bought into that, and we've done that so far.
Yeah, you've done that quite a bit for sure, and you know, obviously when you got guys, just for our listeners that maybe don't know who plays on Joey's team, you got Zion Crowe and RJ Griffin, who were a part of Shawnee's regional finalist team a year ago. Zion, in my opinion, of all the players on your team, has definitely made the biggest strides. You know, I've talked to some people that say he's definitely played his way onto being a scholarship player, whereas back in the winter, I don't know if a lot of people knew his name. You've got Anthony Ruffalo from Alter. He was a late add you had running your point. Sean McKeetrick from Carroll, great shooter. You've got Caleb Maurer from Fort Laramie, another very, very good scorer and especially a good shooter. You got a couple Fairmont players as well. You got a really good variety of guys. And obviously, you know, I won't continue to beat a dead horse. But, yeah, you've got the fact you got to buy in and compete at the level they're competing at. You know, I'm definitely optimistic to see what you guys do in July, playing in the region when you get into the regional tournaments out there. Because when you beat teams like Indiana Game and Indy Nets, those are two of the better programs in the Midwest on the prep hoop circuit. So to beat those type of teams, it shows where you guys are at for sure.
Yeah, you mentioned, I mean, a lot of these kids, like you said, you know, high school ball is, it's a different animal than AU. You know, coaches are coaching to win games, and that's what they want to do. But I'm trying to teach these kids to play the right way, get up and down. You know, I don't want them to hold the ball. A lot of schools, you know, take time off the clock, so they can't really show what they do. I've had people come to me and say, this Zion kid is unbelievable. He was not like this in high school. I'm like, what do you guys mean? He's a beast, you know, running down the lane, dunking and put backs. And they're like, yeah, I don't even know who this kid is. And I was like, well, wow, that surprised me. I didn't watch much in high school, but this kid's a monster. So people need to start recognizing that. And then, you know, you said all those names. You even say AJ Lean, who made first team all tournament. So that just shows how good our team is from top to bottom. I mean, each kid is good. We're all under about 6'3", so we all had to get tougher and, mm-hmm. you know, play the right way and share the ball and make some shots. So it's been a lot of fun coaching them.
I'm a little bit disappointed myself. I forgot about AJ. So, AJ, if you're listening, I'm sorry about that.
You're good.
But no, yeah, exactly. You got such a deep team. And I'm curious for you personally, you know, obviously up until that point, you know, coaching TBT and coach being a GA at Louisville, it's got to be different working with grown men and adults to you're working with kids that are going into their junior years of high school. What were some of the biggest adjustments you had to make personally, knowing you were going to be obviously working with different groups of kids that have different maturity levels, athleticism, growth, et cetera?
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, I've definitely been frustrated sometimes just some of the terminology I've used and different techniques I try to teach, they don't understand because they just haven't been taught. I kind of forget that. So I see these kids as such good players and such experienced players, and just some of the little things maybe they haven't been taught yet. like staying down on their feet on a shot fake and, you know, being physical that they haven't really learned yet in high school or perfected, or just terminology coming off a ball screen, stuff like that they haven't picked up on. But I'm trying to teach these guys as much as I can and to share all the knowledge I have and get them to play the right way. So it has been a little bit of a learning curve for me as well, just coming to a younger crew. You know, Coach TBT, some of these guys know more than me, just playing pro for 10 years. So it's been a little different for sure, but I mean, the talent's there and they want to learn and be coached. So it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing I've had to learn, obviously being with the 17, I got a grade older is patience is one of the biggest things when you're a coach, because you know, not everyone's going to understand the game at the level that, you know, I'm going to know, or obviously you're going to know. So being patient and really being versatile in that you can explain it in a way that they can understand it. And I think that's what, you know, when you've got the experience that you have, that you've been on a Division I team, you've coached mid-major and high-major basketball or been part of the programs, TBT brings its own different, you know, monster. It's just you have so many different, you know, styles of the game and different types of people you've worked with. It obviously helps you to help these kids, that exposes them to different ways of basketball. So, you know, definitely, like I said, I'm definitely looking forward to seeing what you guys do in July. I'm hoping my 17s can replicate even half of what you guys have done so far, because it's been incredible to watch for sure.
Yeah, I mean, AU is it's a different beast. I didn't really play a ton of AU growing up. I always played like 3 or 4 different sports, but just being around it, I'm super jealous and upset I didn't play more, because these tournaments have really become spectacles, and you know, there's so many teams out there, and it's such a good experience for these kids, even just to get up and play some of these different teams, like you said. So I've really enjoyed it, coaching, and I've had a lot of fun, part of a good program with you and Will, so it's been a great experience for sure.
Absolutely. Well, that's the last thing I had on the coaching side. I did want to ask you a few last couple questions here, Joe, and then I'll let you go, because I know obviously you got to be, you're a busy man. One of the biggest questions I have, and this is something I'm sure you get asked a lot, and I'm sure you know where I'm going with this. Obviously you are the son of Jay Gruden, who is an NFL coach for the Washington Redskins, or Washington Football Club now. And also, you're the nephew of John Gruden, former UD Flyer. He was coach of the Buccaneers, current coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. And obviously, when you're the relative of big names like that, you're going to get a lot of, I'm sure, a lot of the spotlight and a lot of pressure on you. Growing up, being a multi-sport athlete, like you said, how did you keep your head grounded and keep focused in kind of perfecting your craft and not necessarily feeling like the light was on you because of who your dad or your uncle is?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, kids growing up definitely used to ask or make fun of, or, you know, notice it. I tried not to let that affect anything I did. If anything, it helped. Just having an extra little spotlight on me with my last name, especially playing football. People would always have super high expectations of me being, you know, some superstar NFL player because your dad's a coach, which obviously isn't the case. But yeah, I mean, I think having that pressure almost motivated me more to be better. So it kind of worked out. And then just having a good father like my dad, obviously, he definitely stayed on the spotlight. And, you know, he wasn't at my practice cussing or running up and down the sidelines. He just let the peewee coaches do their thing and stayed out of the way and let me learn from them. So it was definitely a good experience. And, you know, that pressure and spotlight definitely helped form me, you know, who I am today. So.
Yeah, and to that point, to kind of take it a step further, I'm curious, because again, obviously that's two very well-known and two very good football coaches in the NFL. You know, you did play football growing up. You mentioned that you had come to UD originally to be on the football team. What ultimately – I know you said at least coming to UD, you noticed the culture of that was the basketball program. But, you know, obviously, was there any other reason besides that that made you go the basketball route instead of, obviously, you know, you could have played football – and I'm sure, you know, again, because of your last name, it would have definitely helped you a lot, you know, playing collegiately and maybe even helped get you an extra step to get you into the league. But was there any other factors that made you ultimately decide to go the basketball route over football?
Yeah, I think my high school career playing at Sycamore High School. I was a pretty good player, basketball and football. But I just, some being on that court, it made me feel a different way than being on the football field. Just the passion I had for the game, and I was being able to be pretty decent at it, being recruited to play some small D3s. I just love the game, love competing. And then obviously it's football and basketball is two totally different personalities. I think football is a little more, you know, smash my head on the wall and let's go. And basketball is a little more graceful and skillful and of that nature. I think that just fits my personality mold a little bit better. I'm not a super big yeller or get in your face and scream. So I think just the overall personality of the sport and then my passion for it just kind of led me towards basketball.
I have to say, now that you say that, I cannot – I've seen you guys play three times. I don't think I've ever seen you yell while you're on the court coaching Dayton Elite. I'm sure you may be thinking yourself in your head. I don't doubt that for a minute, but I've never seen you yell at those guys or anything like that. That's definitely incredible to be able to keep that demeanor.
Yeah, I think I'm definitely not a big yeller. So if I do yell, you know, you're definitely screwed up big time. I'm more of a stern talker, or I'll hit him with some mean sarcasm, like, nice pass, dude, get the hell out of the game. That's kind of my version of yelling, you know. I'm not going to scream across the court and cuss you out like some of these AU coaches do. That's just not my personality.
I might need to take that from my team, man, the sarcasm. That's got to dig deep if coach is getting sarcastic with you. So. Wow, that's interesting stuff for sure, but I totally understand that. And again, I mean, again, you see that on the court. When you see it as you coach, you definitely back that up. My last question I kind of have for you, obviously you're going forward. You still got July with Dayton Elite. You'll have flight prep coming up. I believe you'll probably start in October, November. I'm assuming when you guys will start that up or start conditioning or practicing for that. But regardless of that, what are some of your goals down the road? Do you want to be coaching collegiately? You know, is varsity, high school varsity basketball kind of something in your close to where you want to be at? But like ultimately, what's your goal in terms of where you want to be as a coach here in the future?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think, you know, I've been lucky enough to coach at kind of all three levels, you know, being with the high school kids, AU, TBT, you could say it's professional. And then now with post-grad in Louisville coaching college. And I do like the younger ages. I do like, you know, high school varsity is a great thing. I explored last year. I do want to get back into college though eventually. But right now with the time being, just being a flight academy prep is a dang good experience. And, you know, it's the same age group and just being able to help form these kids while they're still younger and eager to learn, and not a bunch of know-it-alls like some of these NBA players look like. It's kind of where I want to be, and hopefully, just coaching at that Division I level again in college is kind of my long-term goal. Mm-hmm. But for the time being, I think Flight Academy Prep is definitely going to prepare me, give me that great experience. Hopefully, have some big-time recruits, you know. So it'll be a great learning experience for me personally, and hopefully, get me to that goal here soon, whenever that may be.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, I know that hopefully the people in Dayton will agree with me in this, that we'll obviously enjoy having you while we're here, because I'm sure, you know, with what you've done these last couple years, I won't be surprised if down the road, you know, some mid-major, high-major schools reach out to you about a coaching gig, and that may take you out of Dayton when that happens. So we'll definitely appreciate you being here and kind of giving back to the Dayton area and with your knowledge of basketball with Dayton Elite, Flight Prep. We'll enjoy it while we obviously still have you here. So, you know, that's all I really got, Joey. I appreciate you taking the time to talk with me this afternoon or evening, I guess I should say. It means a lot for sure. And I think there was a lot that could be learned for any of our listeners that obviously listen to kind of what your philosophies are with coaching and kind of how you got to where you are today.
Yeah, then I gotta give you a shout out. I know you're not making me say it, but the things you do for the high school community is big time. You know, there's not a lot of guys going out there watching high school AU games and wanting to do that and give these kids those articles and writing about them and talking about them. So I appreciate you too, and hopefully this community does as well. So thank you for all you do as well.
I appreciate that. So before I let you go, though, I do want to ask. I did kind of mention it earlier. For anyone that maybe wants to go, either check out TBT, like you said, the regionals in Columbus, and then obviously the championship will be in at UD Arena. Where can people go to get tickets or get more information on the event?
Yeah, if you guys want to follow us on social media, we got Twitter, Instagram, at FlyersTBT. But if you guys want to go buy tickets, they're selling tickets for our regional, and it's definitely going to sell out quick. We're playing in the Pavelli Center, I think is what it's called, at Ohio State. Mm-hmm. You can get tickets at thebasketballtournament.com/tickets. Just go to the Columbus region and then scroll down and you'll find our date on there. I think it's July 24th.
Yep.
We'll have Red Scare featured. So get tickets for that day. And then, you know, I know Flyer fans are going to turn out. A couple years ago we played at Capitol. It was sold out and there's a line out the door. So if you want to attend that game, you definitely got to buy it early.
Absolutely. Highly recommend it. Again, I know I'll be attending on the 24th to check you guys out. Definitely looking forward to it. Again, thank you so much, Joey, for taking the time. Guys, this was Southwest Ohio Full Court Press, again with Joey Gruden, and we will talk to you guys next time.